A new documentary that Ken Burns says is the most important he's ever worked on examines the U.S. response to the Holocaust. The film, in three parts, looks at how racist immigration laws passed in the 1920s kept many Jewish refugees from escaping, how the country was far from a united front when it came to helping European Jews, and the tragic repercussions of public indifference and inaction. In an op-ed for the LA Times, the filmmakers wrote, quote, "Do Americans today have the courage to look at the mistakes of our past for the sake of our improvement?" Sarah Botstein is an award-winning documentary film producer. She's a co-director and co-producer of the PBS documentary The U.S. and the Holocaust, along with Ken Burns and Lynn Novick. It'll re-air on PBS Wisconsin in January, and it's available online. Sarah, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you so much for having me.
This was a long time in the making. What was the inspiration to tackle the U.S. and its relationship to the Holocaust?
Well, Ken Burns, Lynn Novick, Jeff Ward, the incredible writer, and I all have different reasons for being extremely interested in this subject and films that we've made in the past, whether it was a series we did on the Second World War or a series that Jeff and Ken did on the Roosevelt Project. We've sort of, you know, been circling around aspects of what we explore in this film for many years. But in 2015, the United States Holocaust Memorial Museum in Washington, D.C. approached us as they were beginning research on a major exhibition that they launched subsequently in 2018 entitled Americans and the Holocaust. And they asked if we thought it was an interesting subject for a documentary and would we be interested. And we all said, absolutely, it's an extraordinarily important subject to try to understand this period in American history through a slightly different lens. And we said yes to making the film in 2015 and really got started a few years later.
And we usually learn about the Holocaust from the European perspective, Hitler's rise to power, the experience of Jews and other groups targeted by Nazis. What did we learn? What did you learn as you started shifting that perspective to what was going on here in the United States?
Well, thank you for that question. You know, I think we teach in America some of the themes that we explore in the film and some of the aspects that I think are the farther away we get from it, more important about the Second World War generally, kind of in separate silos and lanes. And so, if you're exploring the subject of the U.S. response to the Holocaust, you need to do two things. One, you need to actually understand the chronology of the Holocaust, and that is a European story in some way, right? But you also have to understand what Americans knew, when we knew the information, and how we responded to it. So you can shift away from the crisis in Europe to, I think, what we're experiencing now in our current politics of how do we respond as a citizenry and as a government to crises around the world.
A key part of the timeline was a new series of immigration policies in the United States in the 1920s that were then in place, of course, in the 1930s. 1933, Hitler comes to power. Can you talk about those immigration policies and then how they affected Jewish refugees trying to make it here to the United States?
Yes, absolutely. Centrally important part of the story and, you know, a primary focus of the first of the three episodes that we put together. You know, until the 1920s, America was largely a country of open borders. It was very easy to get here. We did not have official immigration restrictive policies. We had the Chinese Exclusion Act, obviously, but things really began to change in the early part of the 20th century. And in 1921 and then in 1924, we had our first complicated and deeply restrictive immigration laws and quotas, and then actually didn't have an official refugee policy on top of that. So the time when, looking back at this history, we could have done the most in an interesting way is actually before 1939, as Hitler, as you just said, came to power, and then the crisis of the Jews in Europe, rose and rose and rose. It Americans could have bended policy much more easily than once we were actually involved in the war.
And through the 30s, then there was you detail in the series a debate, a lively debate. Some people passionately arguing that we needed to loosen up those laws to let more Jewish refugees in. Others, I guess, keeping the status quo of what those rules were at the time. Can you talk about that period of debate?
Right. So I think it's important to understand the debate, to understand actually the deep and complicated history of American anti-Semitism, actually, and how prevalent and mainstream anti-Semitism was even in our own State Department and government. So, you know, those debates, I think, mirror the sentiments of the country. And one of the things I think is lost the farther away we get is how, you know, what the history of American anti-Semitism is and how it relates to a kind of racist, nativist, isolationist sentiment here.
Can you talk? I mean, it comes out as incredibly blatant, I think, hopefully our standards today. What kind of things were people, even at the highest levels of government, saying faced with this reality of Jewish refugees seeking to come into the country?
Well, obviously, there's lots of offensive and racist and anti-Semitic language and cartoons and expressions. But, you know, I think the polling is also an important piece of to answer your question, that Americans were polled consistently during this time about what to do. And while Americans might have expressed sorrow and horror at some of the things they were hearing, that did not move the needle in terms of public debate or a change in attitudes toward Jewish people coming here and other refugees seeking asylum.
Can you talk about the human impact this ended up having, the anti-Semitic driven immigration policies? What was the human cost?
So, you know, we let in over 200,000 refugees, more than any other sovereign nation took in during this time, and 2/3 of the Jews of Europe were wiped out. So I think that's a question deeply complicated to answer. But, you know, I think the world failed the Jews in Europe. We failed the Jews of Europe. This is a great humanitarian crisis in human history, and we still have things to learn from it.
And I wanted to get into that in our last couple of minutes. There are debates about how we teach all parts of American history, I think, in our schools today. How much do we celebrate American history? How much do we look into the mistakes, the crimes, the bad things that have happened? Can you talk about the value of looking back, taking a tough look at moments like this in our history and trying to learn from them today?
Thank you for that question. I think that's the central thing that we're facing as a country. For me personally, I think you can celebrate the great privilege that it is to live in a mostly working democracy and how sacred our right to vote is, how important it is to have a government that reflects and is, a democrat, principally democratic. Having said that, I think the film shows how quickly civilized institutions and democracies can fail. And so teaching American history is central to that question. I don't think it makes sense to teach. You have to understand a deeply complicated past and celebrate what is good about our country, as well as we say in the film, some of the dark marks, so that you can do better in the future. Those things are not in conflict to me. Those things are actually in concert with one another.
Sarah, we'll leave it there. Thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me.
That's Sarah Botstein, award-winning documentary film producer. She talked to us about her new documentary. She's a co-producer and co-director, The U.S. and the Holocaust. You can go to the PBS Wisconsin website to find out how to view that, either through the website or an encore presentation of it coming up, I believe, in January.